of the emotional body by means of the electromagnetic field by Marshita Vera on Palm Sunday Weekend Retreat, April 10th, 1987.
Is sealed. No harm can come to you. Physically, mentally, mental disease, emotional traumas will be accepted and easily gone through the five stages to dismiss them into wisdom where they belong, because that's what the tests of life that are in the emotional body that strike you so deeply in grief or in fear or in trepidation of any kind, accidents, extreme surgeries, sudden and extreme surgeries, throw every human being into those stages. And where it hits the hardest, and where it is the hardest to dismiss it, is in the emotional body. That makes the shadow of the subconscious mind come up to the surface and bring up with it self-doubts, fears. And the greatest fear, of course, is that you will not finish your goal, your soul's goal. The purpose of your life will not be completed because of some accident or trauma or impinging shock to the emotional body. And of course, for many people, it puts them into coma. That's what coma is about. It's extreme shock to the emotional body that places the individual totally outside of consciousness of the physical body. When they finally get back into it, they don't want to be back into it. They would rather stay in that state. This is why people can stay in a coma for years under intravenous feeding and not leave the body, not go into the astral body. So they are between two worlds in that state. And in a sense, all of us, when we are in emotional shock, do the same thing. We all escape halfway out of the reality of what we have to deal with. And we call the first stage of that grief, right? And the second stage, the first stage, of course, being the desire to escape. And that is built into us. You see it in lower animals when they're injured, the way they go into a state without any body being around them. The emotional body, the electromagnetic field, pulls in. Now let's say a few things about electromagnetic field from a real practical viewpoint, and that is that we are living in an amazing stage in both physics and astronomy and in science generally, many sciences generally speaking. The Voyager 2 trip has been absolutely mind-blowing because the photographs brought back of the electromagnetic fields of planets and particularly of the sun have and are going to totally change our view of physical healing. Because the photographs from Voyager 2 definitely show a magnetic field around the sun that is exactly like the magnetic field of our own bodies photographed in Kirlian photography in the last few years. So we are connected, and that which has been Sufi teaching of the mystics for thousands of years, that we are connected between a planet and man, is now thoroughly proven by this. What is the magnetic field? We say it's electricity, right? We don't know any other way to tell, save by saying that it's positive and negative. And we go back to our magnets and we experiment with the iron filings and we find which is the positive pole and the negative pole. We find by playing with them how we can make that neutralized or put it in its Kamal state outside of the field of the positive and the negative poles, seemingly outside of it, because that's the way it appears to us. Now, if you have done sun practices very long, you will know that as you gaze upon the aura of the sun, not the sun, that where you see those fine needle rays emanating all around the sun, which we call the aura, and the magnetism of the fields between us and the the sun, or outer space, we'll say, gives the phenomena of the gaseous state, which is the hydrogen and the oxygen. And you will see the blue of the oxygen, lovely peacock blue, manifest as a cloud around the sun. And then you will see that high pink that you can only get from like diluted rose matter on the palette, or that we say is like a fuchsia pink, certainly not a baby pink at all. And that is the hydrogen. So the oxygen and the hydrogen manifest to our eyes as that colored cloud. Now, holding those practices and doing them for some time, you will see like rains of light going in a circular motion to the right and the left of the sun. The photographs made by Voyager 2 in peacock blue and this magenta, bright magenta pink, exactly represent that. It's been the most thrilling and wonderful experience of my life to see this on TV in the National Geographic program. Had, unfortunately, just short shots of it, but it just blew my mind, because here is the confirmation of why sun practices and why we know that we are connected to that power by the magnetic field when we see it and when it's scientifically recorded. And some people mentally need that confirmation, but even those who don't need it, because the inner has been so fulfilling, still are deeply gratified when, as Pierre Valiant was spending so many years doing, trying to bring the ancient teaching of mysticism in sync, or rather trying to bring physics and modern investigations into the field of physics into juxtaposition with the ancient teaching. And it's the greatest pleasure in the world when you have that. So I want you to know that you are a living magnetic field, and that the magnetism, the electrical energy which runs through your nervous system, through your brain, through the main planetary organs of your body, each of which is keyed as below, so above, as above, so below, so that every planet has its opposite pole within an organ of your body. And so when we work to heal the emotional body, we should be working on the outside. Now, in recent years, there have been men, Dr. Delgado in Spain, of which we are in Madrid, Spain, of which we are familiar with in this country. I studied under him at San Francisco State University in 1968, when he was having a bad time getting over his views, particularly that since his method depended entirely upon child development, which you know if you study Hasrat Anayat Khan's book on education, my work on the holistic child guidance course of over 15 years, that I am thoroughly a developmentalist and not interested in your chronological age, because I find infants among old people and I find highly illuminated souls among little children. So that's where it is for me. And I tell you where I'm coming from, you may accept it or reject it. But if we look at what is going on in our lives, cycling in our lives, on a developmental basis, rather than how old we are, we love ourselves and can tolerate our weaknesses much better. For the things you are not, for what you haven't accomplished, for what you have lacked in comparison with your peers, and that still, whether you're 30, 40, or 50 years of age, is still your criteria. If you really are honest with your thinking, you will know that the opinion you have of yourself, the way you grade yourself, the way you evaluate your progress, the way you see your makam, if one can see one's makam, is always by how your peers accept you or reflect back to you, or by how you compare yourself with them. And that's your criteria. This is the great illusion that we have of being earthbound. And if we're not grounded on earth, we can't accomplish anything. So it's a catch-two situation, isn't it? First, we have to ground, or we can be of no value to ourselves or the world at all. And in the second round, we have to always be conscious that everything that we think we are here is a reflection of what already exists in the cosmos. If you can't think that far, think just to our galaxy. Everything that's happening up there in that galaxy on its cycles is happening within us in nerve energy, in electrical energy, flowing between the organs of our body, keeping all those systems in some kind of sync or out of sync. And many times it's out of sync. But it begins with the emotional body. These experiments of in three different countries by three separated men, I happen to be talking to you about Dr. Delgado because I studied with him. He's a reality to me. And I know that when babies are born that are Down syndrome or have other incurable, so-called incurable conditions, that you can take the Delgado method, put the child back on the floor, get him up on one knee, get him pushing on two knees. If he can't do it, you support him and do it for him, so that you re-educate the patterning of nerves and muscles and organs of that body. You will, when you do anything with the right arm, affect the left brain. Same with the leg. You cannot exercise or move the left side of your body and not have the right brain be reacting to it. So that all that we learn and take for granted, what I call the grace of God, that we think about when we do Alhamdulillah in the glorifications, is that taking for granted that we have two legs, two arms, eyes that see, ears that hear, a touch, fingers and hands that can touch and sense without the use of those other organs, that we can smell and taste without even thinking about it. These are glorifications. These are graces of God given to us without any effort on our part, without any working on our part, without even deserving them. Only when you see someone born who does not have those God-given graces do you suddenly feel either, my goodness, I can't even look at that, which is the masculine part of your being. And of course, you know that there are very few fathers of Down syndrome children that stick with it. They can take it for about 9 years and then it's just too much. Seeing half of their genes daily manifesting before them, different than the norm. What is the norm? That which is common. The commonality is the norm. And we speak about the norm, we think, oh, well, most of the people have it then. My goodness, I've got to have it. And if I don't have it, and I've passed it on to my children in perfection, then I am not perfect. The image of my being is not perfect. You see, this kind of thinking is where it comes from. Totally have to get rid of that. As we say in child guidance, do not compare your child with anyone else. And it's awfully hard to do because they play with kids that live next door. They play with kids in school. You see a great majority of children doing a certain thing, expected to do it, and being commended for doing it. And then you have a child that's not fitting that norm. And yet naturally you say, oh, something's terribly wrong. First of all, you deny it entirely. And then when you have to face it, you say, well, something's wrong. Guilt comes in. Where did I fail? Not really thinking that who makes this decision? You know, if all the world, if most of the world, say, if 80%, or even let's say 71%, right? Because in all psychological testing and testing of IQs, it's that 71 to 72 is that cutoff point where you are normal or abnormal, because you pass that certain number, right? But if you've worked many years with the so-called abnormal child, you know that he has received an other sensory awarenesses and other planes, things that you couldn't possibly do and don't know how he does. It simply comes as a grace of God, a compensation for one sense being knocked out, another one becomes very sensitive, very keen, and has apperception and perception beyond what we as so-called normal know. Now, you have to get in that kind of thinking when you look at your own emotional body. The way you feel your emotions are, I say to you, is an illusion. Because it is based thoroughly on what the norm in our time, space, place on this planet is doing or evolving to. And if that norm were to turn over tomorrow so that there would be more people like you, predominantly average people like you, then the testing would go out the window. And it would turn right over. And the person who seemed to have the lack would be the norm and would be accepted. Can you follow that kind of thinking? That's necessary that you get into that mood. Now, look upon your emotional body as only one body of five bodies developing. If you study the message of Hazrat Inayat Khan in his books, in his Gathas and Githas over many years, it will suddenly strike you that he's not talking about the development of one piece of clay into something illuminated and acceptable. But he's talking about the gradual interweaving of five different bodies working at their own rates, individually in you, not necessarily what your mother or father did or what your peers do, but its own way. Try to change your personality and see how hard it is. One time a Sufi teacher, well-known Sufi teacher on the Pacific Coast, who was into music, said to me, "Murshida Vera, if you really want to work on this, I'm willing to work on you, but you have to promise me that you stick with the practice if it takes you years to do." Oh, I said, I'd do anything to change my personality. I want to be that the quiet, receptive, loving person. I don't want to have this fiery, in my nature. That's not what I want to be. I want to be that gentle being. So I started the practice, and it was unsound, and it was this one note, E. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. All right, when I got up on that E, and I went around for days and months and 2 years doing E. Yes, I could feel it going up through the uvulum, on up through the inner channels, and it hit my crown center. And it was, either boring, interesting, or sometimes even great. When I'd get that feeling of that channel being open. But then I didn't see that my personality had changed, I still had this getting up and doing something about something if it's wrong, having the fire hit the top of my head and say, it doesn't matter if I'm called nuts or I'm destroyed. This is the way I see it, and I'm going to fight for it, So I and my disciples went out on all of the walks, and of course, what happened is when the atomic plants were being built against our vote in California, down in the San Luis Obispo area, and built on a fault, and are still there with the two great buildings and the bridge crossing the fault. Here it is, this great atomic plant which can destroy us all in one night, And nobody listening to it, so all these awakened and enlivened people decided, you're right, we're going down there, Mashiach, it's really true. By grace of God, I didn't get there the Sunday they were all arrested, but I might have. And so I felt very guilty about that, and I spent my time visiting them in jail. And you know what they did to these highly illuminated people who got out and walked for something they believed in, not destroyed, but walked only, and displayed their posters. For 1 year, these people had to appear at the county jail and serve for the entire weekend. They had their licensing taken away from them, identification as a person able to vote with a voice taken away from them for one solid year. That's what they did. And it was a great illumination, or I guess it was an illumination that hit me. I thought, what have we accomplished, What does this do? Is this the way that one must work? Is this the way the spiritual man must really change the world that he lives in? And I know you're all familiar with all kinds of them. You'll Save the Whales, Greenpeace, you name it. There are just dozens of causes that the spiritually awakened person is asked to work for, donate to, and change. And the punishments that come to those people that get out and lay their life on the line and put their money and their service where their mouth is is appallingly, shockingly recompensed by the kind of treatment they get when the powers that be go too far, say they've gone too far, and don't want that. So that it all comes back to economics, and it all comes back to politics, doesn't it? Is that where the spiritual man is? Each one has to learn his own lesson, his own wisdom, his own truth, by what he believes in serving in the spiritual path. But you cannot go far on any spiritual path without serving the humanity. When you get to the point of where you must serve the humanity, it's a big decision. Today, because you can't serve everything. There are thousands of causes out there, right? And you can only direct yourself into a channel which is of the purpose of your own life and your own soul's goal. That can be creative, it can be inventive, it can be service arts. There are all kinds of paths. And the Bible tells us, in my house are many mansions. So there's just not one place that this great soul is going to, the seventh heaven of the seventh heaven, and you might find yourself down there in the third or fourth heaven forever, amen. That's not the way it's going to be, according to the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel or any other book that has given visions of the inner planes or the higher planes, the heavens, as we call them. So we come down to the viewpoint that our own emotional state, how we feel, incensed or indifferent, is the way that our service is really pointed. Or because it has hit us personally, by our children, by our person, our families. I meet many people in my family of humanity, in my valley, who are suffering directly or indirectly from cancer, because we have more sprays in the Salinas Valley than you find in any other valley in California, it being the salad bowl of America, so-called. But it's also the death bowl of America from the viewpoint of polluted air and what people breathe and what they drink and what they eat. All right. You have to face this. You live in it. You come to terms with it. It's meaningful for you because you're in the midst of it. And there isn't any way that you are going to change it except working on self. Finally, you give up the compost pile. Finally, you give up the organic food. Finally, you realize that this thing is so big. It's so beyond me. It's in the air, and the air is pushing it down into the crops, and the water is contaminated, and the water goes down into the earth, and the earth is contaminated, and finally there are whole acres and acres of land that's just fenced off and forgotten because they don't know what to do about it. You don't know what, you can't fight it, it's too big for you, so you stay out of it. And finally, whole cities of people are moved out of their homes and areas because they become so contaminated, there's just no way they can stay in their own houses and live there. This affects the emotional body. The man feels tied in. He feels pushed against the wall. He feels compromised when there is something in his higher being that says to him, this is wrong. I have to do something about it. And in trying to do something about it, he is not only punished, but he is silenced by the very immensity of it. It is so immense that it just overwhelms him. And at the point where he gets to serving the humanity, he finds out that instead of belonging to that whole vast humanity of the universe, he's pulled himself down to living it within his own being. Live it within your own environment. Build that environment as much as you can to the way you idealize your goal as being. That's where you can change it. Do it in your own backyard. Do it within yourself. So if you start to work on the emotional body to clear it up, and you're going to do something about that magnetic field, which you have accepted, it's the same magnetic field Voyager proved to us was out there on the sun. The same magnetism swirling to the right of you, swirling to the left of you, circling around that the whole being of your body. What do you do about it when that magnetic field becomes shocked, insulted, we say, physically insulted, if medical men are looking at it, the body has been insulted by trauma and by shock. How do you heal that? We have many methods that we work with, and one of the methods that the Sufi works with is the earth practices we did this morning. Get yourself on the earth, ground yourself back to the planet, get on the earth itself, and realize yourself as part of that planet. You know, you couldn't stay on this earth. I know when I was a child, and I said, how come all these people can stay on this planet when it's turning all the time? Why don't we fall off in space? All my teachers said, that's because you have a magnet in you, and the pole of the magnet in your feet and the pole of the magnet in the core of the earth, which is iron, holds you on it. Even when I'm lying down, yes, even when you're lying down at night, you will not fall off the planet. Those of you who've read The Little Prince, that lovely fairy tale, fantasy tale, know about the little prince and how his planet and how he lived on it and got along with it. All right, so you come to that point in your thinking where you can accept the fact that, yes, I'm connected some way with that planet. And if I can get it running through my feet and up my legs and to my heart and accept it with my mind, that I have a will, an individuality, a soul's goal and purpose whereby I can direct my energies back down to the earth. And that cycles in you, and you gain that magnetic energy from the earth. It gives you power, it gives you strength, it gives you tolerance. It grounds you with a marvelous concept, because the greatest of healing we have today in the incurable diseases is through visionary healing. When you can vision in the mind's eye, you have a means of battling physical disease. Until you get to that point where you can direct images to diseased organs or conditions, you are at the mercy of methodology, one after the other. And I'm sure if you had $1 million, you could spend $1 million and you could travel around the world, find out 500,000 different methods by which you can heal any incurable disease today. They say, the man who's had luck on some cases will say his method really works. But the real reason that it works is because the mind of man has accepted the fact that he can heal. Any good physician or scientist will tell you it has to begin in the man's own mind. If you accept the condition, too bad. There it is, and you're going to deal with it. If you can transform that condition, as we do when we start with a pure setting of image in the Nicholas of Fleur Zikr, where we see that powerful trinity at the top, and we believe in its power, in this thousands of years that man has believed and held on to it and taught it and painted it and worked it into his life, then we have a concept that we can bring down and ground into mission at the bottom in our life on this planet. And we have a concept by which we can die to resurrect, to be born and unified again. And I'm not talking about born-again Christian concept. I'm talking about how you can take a physical condition in the body, derived always from the outer magnetic field, and proven now by a few great men throughout the world who have spent a lot of years experimenting with it, that we can change that magnetic field by our concentration, visualization, and placing it where we want it to be. No matter what problem you have in life, if it is lack of a job, lack of money, lack of opportunity to step forward, it all has to start with visualization within your own higher mind. If you can't not visualize yourself in a different situation, then you'll stay in the situation you're in. You will revolve or you will devolve, but you will not evolve. That has to change in man's thinking. Of course it begins with self-image, which many teachers today denigrate. Many teachers say that is not so important that we focus on that. But it is. Because if you have an opinion of yourself that is less than the ideal of your life, and we don't all have the same ideal, thank God. So all of us are not aiming to be president in the White House, though who would want to be president today, right? But many of us are trying to lift ourselves into positions where we can do more for the family, we can do more for ourselves, and we have the individual goal to attain to. It may not even be a goal which you can put into words. It may not be a goal that you can say, I see myself in a certain position. Though it's great if you can, because you'll make that stepping stone. But it's to see yourself according to that image which you have seen as what you could be if you would be. And that is possible only when your attitude of mind lifts the image of yourself into the perfection that you see yourself attaining to. Not what you have been, or what you've inherited, or what you got stuck with in conditioning, or what the impress of the world has told you is your place, your space, and your limitation. But the freedom to be what you visualize yourself to be. Many times healings happen in instances. And that the instant that they happen is when you can mirror back to that individual the image of his own goal. Not where he is and not where he's failed, but you can reflect to him that perfected image that you see in him. So you can't be a spiritual teacher if you can't do that. I say you can't even be a psychological counselor of two bits if you cannot see that person in his final perfected form before you start changing it or working on it. That image has to be there. And when you have it, you can transfer it to another being. And you know what it's always meant to you when you were a child, if you were confirmed by either parent or might be a grandparent or just someone you admired greatly in school, who could give you that positive reinforcement when you needed it, you could catch it from them and believe in it. That believing is the first step. And that enervates the biomagnetic field of the body. People who meditate, people who spend time in devotion of any kind, and it doesn't have to be secular, belong to any particular religion or any particular order, but those are the people who, after they come out of meditation, show this expanded electric blue magnetic field right next to the skin. And in death, we know by Kirlian photography, if you need that confirmation, but we also know by the energy of the body, by the changes in the body as it goes to sleep, and the astral body rises in strength to take over that thinking, feeling, realizing being, spirit which lives within man. That is where we see it. In that little fine line, which may be a 1/16 of an inch wide, or maybe an 1/8 of an inch wide, or after meditation, spiritual practices will expand itself so that it radiates outward from the body. The aura that exists, like that part that exists between the yolk of the egg and the shell of the egg, picture that in your mind. That space in there is the human aura. That little membrane between the shell and the white of the egg is the way your aura looks. And that is necessary to be sealed. If you crack an egg, that white begins to bulge out and dry up. If you crack it a little more, it'll flow out of there. This is what happens to the human aura when it has onslaught from the outside. That the individual accepts and has not proven to himself that he has a means by pulling down the divine light or pulling up the light of the Kundalini. Get that at the point where it meets in the center of the body, that acupuncturists say there's a dividing line across the mid of your body. And it is that line or that place which we in Sufism say is the full anahata, the central anahata, that brings up from the kundalini, the base sexual energy, to that line, brings down from the Nur al-Anwar, the light above the crown center, and meets at that point. When those meet, that is the point of illumination. It is the point of healing in the emotional body, and it is the point of bringing to balance the energies of the Alim, Azim, the energies of Rahman, Rahim, the energies of positive and negative energies come together there in equality. And when they do, they flow out in a million little tendrils through the whole nervous system. And in that feeding through the nervous system triggers the DNA by enzyme action. They tell us today that the enzymes themselves trigger the DNA. And that's what means the absorption or non-absorption of your food. The difference went between people that are very skinny and people who are obese. And the battle that you have half of your life to try to change it from other places. That's where it begins. That's where it's at. Those two have to come together. And I find very definitely that the magnetic energy that one pulls up from the earth, I can never get beyond that point. And I always think, why did Sufi masters always teach that, you know? Just get up to your heart and then direct it down your arms. Why aren't they saying, get it up to the vagus nerve and go down the shoulders to your arms, you know? It makes more sense thinking about it. But actually, it, as a scientific truth, it is true that that center line is across the mid part of your body. And those have to be brought up and be made to meet. So one should never miss the opportunity to gain the magnetism of the earth. There are many ways to do it. When you have your spare time and you can get out, you can sweep the magnetism from something that is really emanating with it, like those ancient plants that we call horsetails that were down there cracking through on the tennis courts this morning, covered with dew, reflecting that wonderful light like jewels on them. You know, you can sweep your hand above that, bring that to that midriff section. Bring that into your aura. You can gather it that way. You can do it with any shrubbery or bushes that you're walking among that are really emanating that life. Don't do it on that dying acacia over there whose blossoms are going down now because that will not bring an energy to you. But bring it on the liveness of the most ancient grasses, the reeds and the grasses that have been here for millions of years, have sustained every kind of cataclysm, and is still gathering the elements and radiating to us. They're the ones that you sweep and bring to you. And then work on the spirit of the Holy Spirit, as we're doing in this retreat. When you can bring those down, and they meet at your central being, you'll be amazed at how you really can change the emotional body. You just don't feel the same about things that were tearing you apart, because you brought those two great energies together. By conceptualizing them, by visualizing them, and by directing them to the inner man. In healing of incurable diseases today, we know that the moment that you can give a little child, especially when you're working with children with cancer, it is a very difficult thing because the medical men are working from one view, the parent is sitting there suffering hours and hours with what the child is physically going through, and it's a horror to live through. It is the only way that one can face this is through the higher planes. And when we do healing that is visionary healing, to be able in your own life, whatever the situation and whatever the intent is, it is your current test in life. And the more evolved you are, the harder they are, the faster they come. You will never talk to any merchant who will not tell you the same thing. You know, you don't get in that lovely Valhalla where nothing happens to you. Oh, no. You have the tests. They're bigger ones, they're harder ones, and they come closer together. And you only thing makes it easier is that you've mastered the way of kicking it. You're not engulfed by it anymore. You've gotten to a point where you can say, I'm totally indifferent and independent of it. Because it is not, I'm not captured in this. I have a way of being free of it. And that's what we have to aim at. The practical reason for visualization, purification of channels. How to not learn how to cop out. It's easy. There's all kinds of drugs out there today, and they're so easy to get. You can cop out forever, but there's no mastery in copping out. The only mastery is when you get a hold of what you are and have within you and apply them. And the Sufi says, make the wasifa work on the test of your life. Prove it to yourself that you are master of the situation. It'll disappear in minutes. It'll just go. In the outer world, you say, oh, wonderful things are happening, you know, I've come to solve the whole thing. That's not where it's at. The wonderful thing is what's happened inside of you. And that thing that happened inside of you triggers the whole thing because it triggers the electromagnetic field. The electromagnetic field radiates your aura. It makes you feel safe. It illuminates you. It seals you. And you find yourself feeling, I can do it. I'm safe. I'm not threatened. I can really master this thing because it's inside of me and I've gotten a way to do it, found a way to do it. Then you've got the real service to humanity because you've learned to serve yourself till the cup runneth over. And the Bible tells you, and the Old Testament tells us, all of the Testaments tell us, that until your cup runneth over, you have nothing to give anybody. And that's a big shock to people that are taking a 6 months course in how to be a great psychologist or healer. Your cup has to run over, then you've got something to give. Otherwise, it will eventually drag you dry. It will knock you down. You will fall flat on your face, we say. You won't be able to do it. It peels you out. So we are forced by the life vibration itself to meet this and do it. Now, with these three men that are working on this electromagnetic field in Britain, in Spain at this time, and in Russia, but of course the one Delgado that I know the best is really made such fantastic advancement in the last 25 years because they are able to heal the physical diseases of men that are considered to be incurable in the primates. That means the cancer and the many diseases which we just give long names to, we've never seen them before, which are so prevalent and so increasing today among our new births, new infants coming into this plane. And they have been able to change that in the primates. So we're very close to changing the genes and the chromosomal pattern of inheritance within us. And of course, when we can change that or repair it, then we can repair the child-born handicap. Now we can change our world. We can really do a great deal of it. They are not doing this by surgery, by transplants, by any of the methods which our medical profession is going gung-ho on and making fortunes on today. They are doing it thoroughly through the electromagnetic field. Isn't that fascinating? And this is no baloney. It's just not being advertised commonly at this time because, you know, it's for one thing, it's going to turn over the medical profession totally. Because all of our old ideas about, you know, open heart surgery, transplants, artificial lungs, kidneys, hearts, everything else that they've been working so hard on and experimenting for so, you know, recent years with always short-term successes, will be out of the way entirely because it will be done totally through the electromagnetic field. And being able to put one thin wire into that organ or that central center of nervous energy within the brain and feeding that electromagnetic force thoroughly to that organ, healing it without any surgery at all. That is just mind-blowing when you think about it. So to be aware of your magnetic field and to be able to use it, the Sufis, you know, for years have always done this little simple practice at the camps, you know, where you take your hands and you push them back and forth until you feel that magnetism between your fingers, and like a rubber band, you pull it out, and there's a certain point of where you feel it go, you know, and you know that that's as far as your magnetic field is stretching that time and that day. And then you'll see people who just do this, you know, hey, out here, you know. I look at them and think, isn't that interesting, you know? You know, immediately you have this expanded. You know that the only way you get it is going close by. You just can't feel it otherwise. It doesn't come to you that way. But you can expand it. This does nothing for the magnetic field, but it tells you something about your own magnetic field. And that part of it is very interesting because we can test what our magnetism is like. And it's interesting at Pure of Elias retreats when you see a lot of people doing it. They've all been sitting there doing practices with Pure for days, and you know, and they're all into the work for a long time. And you see, you know, you just look out there and you see how different these people are. They've had the same impress and the same conditioning, the same spiritual practices, but the electromagnetic fields are very different, you know, and probably having to do with not only man's concept of himself, but what condition the organs are in. Now, whether the diet and the purification by air and by water and by food is really what that individual universe needs. So you have to go back and observe yourself as a universe unto itself. Every organ in your body is a nerve, is a planetary center, a center of the whole thing. The energies are working back and forth between those organs. You can't throw one off and not touch all of them. They're all touched by that. You can't eliminate one organ and have the others work. They all have to feed into each other.